Okay. Today I want to spend a little bit of time talking about building a Christ culture in the church, all right? And if you think about it, we all have a default switch. You easily go back to who you are, your old self, right? So please, as we start talking about building a church culture that is reflecting Christ more, let's think about how we cannot reflect back, just switch back to the old culture. Does that make sense? So what does this really mean? First of all, family groups is a place that we come to be family, amen? It's not a preaching time.
Something happened.
Let's go backwards. All right, well, for a while I thought they had decided they didn't like my voice anymore. Okay, I'll back up. What are we trying to do? We're trying to build Christ culture in the church. Does that make sense? But we all come with personalities and all kinds of things that can get in the way of that. That is why we need the grace of God to continually build that moving forward. Does that make sense? So when you come together for family group meeting, that is a family group time. And what you want to do when you come together is to remember that if you're the leader, that is not the time to preach. That's the time to facilitate conversations in the family group. Amen? So you're facilitating. You're doing a lot of facilitation. And we can talk about how different that is from preaching. When you're preaching is what I'm doing right now. But when you're facilitating, you're asking questions that help people to discuss and come in and draw those that are quiet. And those that are talking too much, help them to give some space. That's what you're doing. Does that make sense? Because sometimes we're passionate, so you have to allow both things to be flying in the process, okay? So understand that. There needs to be a plan, so you need to think ahead. Have a good plan. Maybe go with a theme of the month or go with a theme of what you think is needed before you get involved, get there. So you really need to think through why you're discussing that subject. Don't just wake up one morning and put up, okay, the parable of the sower. How did you arrive to that? Why are you discussing the parable of the sower for that group? What's going on in that group that needs the parable of the sower? Do you understand that? So we can't just put anything together. We have to think through why we're having this discussion. Okay. There are five things we want to build, if you wish, the climate of what we want to build. How would it look like? How will a good family group look like? Right. These are the five things you want to look at. And I've tried to put them in the order that I think you should start with so that you really develop a good way of going forward. So one is the first thing you must show is care. If you're a family group leader, you can get a book called Regroup. It's a great book. It has all this information I'm trying to use. I'm borrowing that heavily, and you can use that to help build your group. But if the first thing you want to start in a group is to show care for one another, you have to show care. And here's what the scripture reads. This is 1 Thessalonians 5, 10 to 11. It says, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another just as you also are doing. That encourage one another, build each other up. The idea of us building family group is to encourage one another. Two people are better than one. So we need to encourage one another. When you're encouraging someone, you come and get close to that person. You know that person. You follow that. Because then you can encourage them by relationship. They let you know what's going on, and you encourage them through that relationship that you're building. And Christ was the example of that. You see that with Peter. You see that with John. You see that with all the people he was touching. Does that make sense? So therefore, encourage one another. Build each other up. That's a very important thing to do. And there are many ways of doing that. And I have notes here. Oh, too much. Okay. Being there for each other is what it means. That in this group, you want to ask yourself, are we there for one another? In sickness, in good times, in bad times, do we talk? Do we have relationships that are meaningful, that we can do some things together. Encourage each other. There must be particular things you're encouraging. You follow that? So it can happen if there's no relationship, because you can't come and encourage me because the Bible commands I encourage Joseph. Joseph, be encouraged. What? Unless there's a connection, it can happen. I say that because we may think that this is just a talking point. We want to invest in a relationship with God and with one another, so that it begins to really take meaningful change in life. And the less, the more that atmosphere takes hold, and you'll see how the church transforms. It's already taking that shape, and you see that you can now reach out and you can really get authentic help. And by so doing, it becomes much easier to grow in your life spiritually, because there are things you're working on and moving forward. Does that make sense? The alternative is to keep quiet and have no one to talk to and just die quietly. That's not healthy as a church if you're building. So there needs to be care. Coming alongside one another. To encourage is to come alongside someone. And I know we have phones and we have, you know, we can tweet, we can do WhatsApp, we can do all that, but come along that person and talk with that person. Technology is great, but it's killing the most important thing, relationships. I'll just send him a text, I'll do this, and they should know that I love them. The world knows that even though they have Skype, they have to take planes to go and have a meeting so that they can have a real meeting, a meaningful meeting about something. Even though we have this technology, let's not be hide behind that. Let us make time to meet and come along and have conversations so that there is care. Does that make sense? If care is established in a group, that group quickly begins to move forward in many other ways. So if a visitor comes to that group and he sees the care, why would he not want to come back the next time you meet? Because you see how sincere and genuine you are. They will come back the next time. But if that's not there, why would they come back? We are as good as the world then. That's the difference. We have to show care. Does that make sense? So remember that this is very important as you move forward. So you want to be concerned about how people are, where they are, what's going on. When you come in together and they're not there, reach out to them and says, and find out, are you okay? Is everything fine? That's part of just showing care, okay? Or, I'm sick. Do you need any help? Find that. We like to say, I'll be praying for you. But beyond that, faith without deeds. Do some deeds as well. All right? Do some deed for the person. Did I go too far here? Second is safety. I know we're all disciples, but let me ask this question. How safe are you with the people in your people you know or people in your family group right now? I know it's still new. Do you feel safe? I mean, would you confess your sins to that guy, to that sister, to that brother? How safe are you? Because the truth be told is that we don't feel safe at all in church. This is where it needs to be so safe. We have to model for our children. If the church is safe, our children have no reason to leave and go. If it's not safe and looks more like the world, it can really play around for them. Let's model for them so that even when they leave, they can see the difference and one day they can turn back. Say, you know, I think that place was way safer than this. Does that make sense? So we need to be safe, but let's read here. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. Amen? This is not feeling. This is the verb, 1 Corinthians 13, right? If you think about it, it's not just the feeling that it's describing here. It's the verb of what it is. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world, we are like him. There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. You cannot have both exist in us. We cannot say we love God, but we are afraid of one another. There's a conflict there. So you have to address what fears are you carrying with your relationships within that family group. Does that make sense? You need to have that conversation going on. It doesn't happen overnight. It's messy initially. You're building. But as you build those relationships, they get better and better and better. Some groups will start on a very good note. Some groups, there's much more work to be done. You understand that? If you're in a good place, amen, have a good time. Those of you that are having a bit of a challenge, have conversations around that. How can we show care and love for one another? When safety is well looked at, is that people can come as they are, but they also they're able to talk, knowing that they'll be considered in what they're saying, and it'll be looked at, and they'll be shown a godly way of dealing with that. Does that make sense? So that's when safety really works well. So we know and rely on the love God has for us. God has loved us even when we're not perfect, right? He died for us on the cross. I mean, Jesus died on the cross for us when we're not even committing to him yet, right? That's the kind of love he showed. And so we have to provide that kind of love for one another and build it. So you create safety. When it's safe, people can talk. When it's safe, we can start growing again. When it's not safe, we start hiding. And when we hide stuff, the devil uses that against us. We can't move forward. Does that make sense? We cannot move forward. Because then you come here and you're feeling guilty, you feel alone, you don't feel like anybody understands why it's not safe. But when we're safe, we can really have these conversations moving forward. All right? Now, it's possible that somebody may confess things that you're not able to help the person with. Please, if you can't, let the person know that you cannot help them, but you can pray, and maybe you, if they give you permission, you can find someone to help them. All right? And let's not try to be doctors if we're not doctors. Amen. Don't be a doctor. Don't tell people, don't take that tablet. I can pray for you and you'll be all right. You're not the one that prescribed that medicine. I understand emotional challenges. Understand mental challenges. Don't try and tell them what to do and take them out of something that you don't know. You'd rather say, you know, with that, you might need to go see your doctor and talk about that. Does that make sense? Okay. So this issue of safety is accepting each other. Let's talk about accepting each other. What are the issues when it comes to accepting each other? Some person is too forceful in the group, right? I can't stand them. We have to learn to talk through that. And not just switch because they're too forceful. I can't talk to that person about that so that they can be aware that this happens. Does that make sense? Oh, this person did this to me. Talk to them. Talk to them. That's how we build family. Build relationships. Talk about issues. Talk about issues. And that's why it changes. If each time there's a problem we ran, we might not have a healthy setup. We have to learn to talk through things. That's part of being a safe place. Does that make sense? So we have to do that. Feeling safe enough to be yourself. Imagine coming to church and acting church. I mean, they pay people to be actors. Can you imagine that? It's a hard job. You want to come here and be safe. Now, safe is not saying, hey, I'll just be me. You take me or leave me. That's your problem. That's not what I'm talking about. It's about being real enough to allow people. When you're real, you connect with people. When you're not real, it's hard to connect with people. So you're real enough to get relationships going. You're real enough to feel happy to be around here. You're real enough to bring your friends here as well. Does that make sense? So that's the point to understand as you're building safety, to understand that there's that. We have to get to that level where we feel safe with one another. Does that make sense? And that's all in the group. You're building these qualities so that the group really functions well. Are we good so far? All right. Authenticity. Close to safety. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? It's quoted in Hebrews. The fear of man makes us become duplicitous about how we operate around each other. In other words, you don't obey God because of fear of man. You follow that? And long term, you start playing games in your mind. To survive, just judge. And that's not healthy either. I mean, when I whether I'm meeting Alan or I'm meeting Mike or I'm meeting Steve, who I go for discipling, I want to be the best I can be, as authentic as I can be. I don't try and go there with a face saying, let me put up a face. It doesn't help. And this is the thing, this is the issue. Sometimes you put up a face and not knowing that you're doing that. You follow that? So you need a place where we can really be authentic. That attracts the world like nobody's business. When you go buying stuff in the shop, do you buy fake stuff? You don't pay for that. You want the real stuff. Whatever it is, you say, is it the real thing? If it's the real thing, you pay for it. The same way, people don't want to come to something that's not real. So when you're real, your joy is real, your relationships are real, your conversations are real, and people get impacted with that. When it's not real, people feel like, why am I in this place? Why am I here? Why? Because they just feel like everybody's trying to be perfect. Everybody's trying not to just to quickly get away. That's not what we're trying to build. We're trying to make sure that we are working on things and progressing gradually in God's time. It's not an event. It's a process. We have to learn to talk through things. Does that make sense? Here's a culture that we want to avoid. We don't want to settle. We want to be people that grow and enjoy our journey with God. So we're not in competition. We're not in competition. It's for some reason this group here is doing so well and we're struggling a little bit. We pray and figure out what's going on here. We don't start saying, why are they going so well? We work out our issues and try to get along. Does that make sense? So that's very important. So it's important to be authentic. Children are the best example of being authentic. They'll cry. They'll complain. Why this happened? They'll say what it is. Then they'll forgive and move on like nothing happened. Right? We want to keep a story going on for a month, for a week, for a year. I don't want to talk with that person. Please come closer to God and understand children how they operate on this issue. Let go quickly and come back and sort it out, all right? It's an awesome thing when we do that. So take a risk to build relationships. I know you come to church, but are you close with people? Take the risk. Amen? And I mean, take the risk to know people. You can be so guarded that you don't want to know people. Just take a risk and build relationships. Take time to know people. Invite them to your house. Visit. All right? Let's go on a fellowship. Let's go on dates. Is that right? Yeah. Let's go on dates. Let's make it happen. But on the family group front, you're trying to build relationships a lot. And as you do that, amazing things happen. Here's what happens. God has always used relationships to work with different people in the Bible, to transform people. You'd send a prophet to go tell a king something. You would send somebody to go. That's how it works. So you cannot be an island and succeed in the God's kingdom. You have to connect with people. You have to connect with people. And you cannot connect in a fake way, because after a while people figure it out. They say, no, I don't want to be around this person. Now, I hope they don't do that. I hope they say, you know, you got to work at this issue here a little bit. I hope they don't run away. They start talking about it. Amen? And that changes our environment. It's warm. It's encouraging. People want to come to that. So take risks and think about that. It's a risk to be known. Some of us are persuaded. I don't know who told you that, but you're persuaded that if people know me, they'll not like me. Who told you that? You tell yourself that. So you persuade yourself and rationalize why nobody should know you. I think that's too much a burden to carry. We come to Christ so that we can give our burdens away and learn from Him and take a different yoke that teaches us to be submissive to God. Does that make sense? Not come to Christ and be like the world. The world works very hard to be perfect outside, but inside they're suffering. We want to be happy, inside, outside. Does that make sense? So if we don't do that as family groups, we're killing one another. It doesn't help. Let's build relationships. Let's take that risk. Talk to one another, bit by bit. All right? And sometimes some people annoy you and you'll not know why. Walk through that. Yeah, sometimes it's just the way they look at you. And that annoys you. Maybe you're insecure. Maybe they remind you of someone. I don't know what it is, but figure that out. All right? Figure that out. People can trigger you for different things. You follow that? Just trigger you for different things. We've got to learn to be disciples and walk through this. We are building a multi-generation, which means we have to learn to talk. The older and the young need to learn to talk to one another, respecting one another, having good relationships. We have to take that risk. Does that make sense? Multi-race. It means John Young thinks differently, I think differently, you think differently, but we, because of Christ, we can get together. Amen. And we can have a good time and not be stuck in, I don't understand the way he thinks. Well, we think in Christ's ways. That's the way you want to work this thing out. All right? Now, there are always issues that will be annoying. Let's say somebody comes late a lot. All right? Talk about, give that person the privacy to talk. Somebody should talk about it, but privately with that person. Okay? And say, you know, please, can you try and first understand. Don't just tell. Ask. I'd like to understand why I'd like to understand if you're having a bit of a challenge to get here on time. Why do you say that? Explain. Don't raise your hand. Just explain. I'm only saying that because we're trying to make it work for everyone. All right? If you've said it, don't keep at it all the time. If you said it, give it a chance so that repentance may take place. All right? If you say, you don't have to keep saying it every day they come late. Here we go again, here we go again. There is more about getting to heaven than a guy coming late. All right? That's just, you can talk about it, but that's not the main issue. The main issue is we got to get to heaven. Am I making sense now? So take those risks to talk about stuff like that from time to time. And it'll improve, sometimes better, sometimes not. But we have to learn to walk through things and not expect people to change and start judging them inside and become resentful and bitter. It doesn't work well. Right. Put things on the table and have good conversations and instead moving forward. All right? Let's talk about help. So people are authentic. Can they get help now? Because they're authentic, they can get help. Now you know who they are. You can say, they can get help. They feel safe. They don't feel judged, put down. They feel safe. They say, I can get help. This is who I am. Does that make sense? I can get help. So you, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Oh, yeah, I'm free, but not to do what I want to do, to serve one another. Right? So we are free, but let's not use that freedom to commit sin. Now we are free, we can really have a good fellowship with each other, talk about things. So you can only get help because you're being authentic and you're feeling safe. Now you can get help. If that was not there, if there was no care, there was no safety, and there was no authenticity, how do you get help? It doesn't work. So even a leadership role, we have to work doubly hard to build relationships because you cannot give help to people who you don't know what they're going through. If you're not in a leadership position, but you're still a member, you also have to do a doubly good job getting to know the people around you so that you can get to know what and talk through things as we grow and become better. Amen? We can pray for one another. We can be there for one another. Different help comes our way. Otherwise, we get stranded and we don't know what to do, and there's so much resource in the church, but we have no place to go because we never talk about it. Easy stuff that we could fix, but because we don't have a place of relationship and building, you can't get help. And so we feel alone, we feel not helped, not wanted, not needed, but we'll not let people in our world. And it's harder for other people than others. Let me say that. I know that. If you've had a history of being rejected, it can be harder to put yourself out. Take your time. Pray about it and come along. Eventually it'll become something that you win. It can take a year, it can take a month, but it will come along and God's name will be glorified. Amen? So then help begins to come through. So serve one another. This is when we use your talents. I mean, somebody's moving, help them. In that group, that is very easy, right? Or maybe they need to understand something, taxes, and maybe you know how to do it. Help them. Stuff, use your talents, because the idea is that God wants you to use your talent to serve his kingdom. Does that make sense? So don't just sit with your talents. You may not have an opportunity to do something in the church, but you can do it in the family group. Maybe you organize something for that family group. Maybe you do put something together for the children in the family group. You organize food. There's something. Find something you can do in the family group so that you don't just come and sit and say, I just go and leave. Be useful in the family group. Use your talents. Let God walk with you there. Does that make sense? All right. Use your skills to serve others. So what skills do you have? Everybody has a skill. Yeah, you have a skill. You may not have discovered it, but it's right there. You've got to find out what your skill is and use that. What's your skill? You're a good listener, whatever it is. What's your skill? Use that in the family group. Let's make it happen. Does that make sense? Don't abuse the privilege of being served. Let's talk about that. Amen. Yeah, we want to build a healthy church. Don't get entitled and says, okay, you guys are not being what we talked about at church. Figure out how to talk about that from I feeling this because this not happened. Don't get entitled. Or we have people in this church that have a craft. Maybe they're engineers or maybe they can fix stuff like AC, stuff like that. If you're going to call up person to come and do it, you need to make sure that you're agreeing that I'm calling you and I'm short of funds. Can you help me? Don't expect for them to come and do it free, and probably they need the money. Am I making sense? So I come and do a service for you, but you're a disciple. You should understand. A disciple still needs to eat. So if he's fixing something, please do something. And I think that sometimes we really take it for granted and we abuse relationships in the kingdom. He's a disciple. We should be saying, thank God they are disciples. Treat them with respect. Treat them with honor. That these are God's people. So how is it that we want to treat the world with so much respect? And please treat the world well, because you're going to show the world about the kingdom of God. But you don't take it for granted where people think, oh, because he's a disciple, I should never ask any, they should not expect anything from me. Or they can. But we should be mature enough to say, you know what? I'm hoping you can help me with this. How much do I owe you if you come? Oh, no, I'll do it for free. That's okay. But if he does it one time for free, don't make that a habit. He does it for free all the time. Does that make sense? Or somebody lends you money. But you never go back to say, I'm shocked, that's why I've not paid yet. You just keep quiet and keep quiet. The next thing, you start avoiding the person. And you're in the same church. Good to see you, good to see you, good to see you, good to see you. All of a sudden your schedule is full and can't meet people. That stuff can get in relationships. Does that make sense? And sometimes it's just you're having perceived things. Sometimes just go and make it clear. I say, I'm not sure I'm right or wrong. Maybe I'm just feeling things. Is this what I'm thinking? Is it right or is it true? If they say, no, that's not what I mean. It's a done deal. It's over. But if you walk around carrying stuff, perceived things, because we all see things very differently. They're just perceptions. It doesn't make it right. Confirm. Find out. I was just thinking, can I confirm, is this what you meant? Or I'm feeling this way. Is there anything? Nothing. Okay, we're done. Make sense? The church gets mature, healthy, moving forward. People come to that place. They study the Bible. They want to be a part of that group. Because there's no funny tension. It's amazing when a new person walks in a group and he can see all the tension. But if you're together, he can see that you're really together. Yeah. I mean, visitors come to church and they say, we love each other so much. But we've been here for a long time. We think, oh, that's just normal. This is not normal, people. Out there, people are not this happy. They are distraught, disturbed. All the D words you can get about being disturbed with words, you know. Finally, when all those things come together, growth begins to kick in, right? If you have put care in place, care becomes a culture of the church. There's health there. There's authenticity. People are safe. This is how it's run. This is how the family groups function. People feel safe. It's a place where they come. You come to that place and you feel there's energy. It's exciting. God is in that place. People want to be in that place. You feel that growth will happen. Why is growth happening? It's not the numerical growth fast. It's the spiritual growth that comes fast. When the spiritual growth is in place, numerical takes care of itself. A lot of times when the numerical is not coming, it's because the spiritual has died. When the spiritual has died, there's no strength for the numerical to come. The foundation of numerical growth is a spiritual growth. When people are growing inside, it's amazing how much conviction they have to talk about God. They will not help but talk about it. I mean, guys, I'm sure Campus will understand. They're musicians you like, right? You can't help but talk about those musicians sometimes. Have you heard the latest music? You want to talk about that. The latest movie. Now, the more mature people, I'm not sure if you're still talking movies anymore and music. I think you've moved on to other issues now. That's just the way life works. At some point, you have to move on to other issues. But the point I'm trying to make is growth comes if we are growing spiritually. So then I ask this question. Do you feel the need to grow? I'm not asking you to baptize. I'm asking for you to grow spiritually. So when we talk family groups, it's not numbers we're chasing. We're chasing a healthy environment. It's an Acts 2 setup. They were devoted to scripture, to prayer, to fellowship, to breaking bread. They were in each other's homes. That is what we're pursuing. Then the Bible says that God was adding to their number. How? Because when you're like that, people want to come to that place. And then they study the Bible with them. And then God added to their number. That's how it worked. Does that make sense? So do you see the need of growth? Because it's very easy to settle as a Christian. Here's the deal. We become Christians and we think, okay, I'm not falling away. That's good enough. Really? The devil duped you if you accept that. You see, you become a Christian. You start the journey of the easy stuff. You're committed to coming to church, to Bible talk, to different things. But you now have to deal with your hurt. Things that come over time. You may not know that you struggle with certain things until a certain situation happens. It's true. We'll find out things about ourselves when we're in our 60s, in our 70s, in our 80s. Stuff that we never thought we struggled with. Because in our 20s, we never just had the opportunity to struggle with it. So there's a need to keep working at that. Because you don't know what the future brings your way. You don't want to settle. But when you start growing as an individual, numerical growth takes care of itself. It starts to kick in because you can't help by saying, you know what, how can I be growing this way and this guy is struggling? It's like, let me help him. You'll have compassion for people because you're growing. Hebrews 10, 24, 25, and let us consider how we may spur one another towards love and good deeds. In our family groups, we need to spur one another, encourage each other to grow. Does that make sense? Not force, but encourage. Not control, but inspire. Does that make sense? Let us not give up meeting together as someone in the habit of doing. If you're not coming, call and say, I might not make it. Okay? If you're not going to the group, please call. It's a good thing. Let them know. Don't wait around. I might not make it. You guys keep rolling. Okay? Call, send a text, whatever works. As some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So we have to encourage each other to grow. But that happens in a setup that is safe, authentic, care, help is happening. You cannot encourage people to grow if that's not happening. Here's how it functions. If you tell people things about growth and there's no relationship, you get rebellion. If you tell people about growth and there's no relationship between two of you, you get rebellion. There must be a connection. When there's connection, you don't get rebellion. You get people wanting to do stuff. So if there's no connection, and then you wonder why aren't people responding, check that queue of relationships, and it will start connecting. Does that make sense? It is true with children. It is true with us. It is true with employers. It is true everywhere. So we are to build this. So our family groups are not the old family group. Please remember that. It's not let's meet together to check who has not done studies. It's to connect with God, to fellowship, to break bread, to pray, to have fun. And in the process, as you bring people along, great stuff will happen. Amen. If you switch that with numbers, if you look at Acts chapter 2, you'll have changed the priority, that God is no longer the priority. Your numbers have become the priority. And that's an idea you've brought inside that system. God must be the foundation of what we're doing. And everything else comes together. Am I making sense now? So please don't be afraid of the family groups. It's going to be worked out. We talked well with the family group leaders. And there's much talk about training in that direction. So name areas you need to grow in. Part of that is as you walk around, you'll find that you may name an area that you want to work on this year. So that's an area that you have a friend that you talk to, you pray with, they pray with you, you study the scriptures around that. So that's a good thing to do. Are we okay with that?
Yes.
If you have any questions, this is an area I really want to explain. But just name an area that, you know, I want to grow more in this area, I want to do better this way. It's amazing what I feel. And I share with you humbly. I feel that when I tell people, here's my weakness and here's what I'm trying to change on, I don't feel like the devil has a hold over me. I feel victory just by saying that. I feel like I'm known and I want to make changes and I'm getting in the Bible. I'm studying that. But when I hold back, I feel like I'm not being real. You follow that? And that's why you really need friends. So we have to be deep a little bit in our relationships here, brothers and sisters. We need to be deep people that let the word saturate us, and we can now deeply talk to people about what God is saying. And so it's important. Encourage each other to take steps of growth. It's an encouragement, almost a slight nod. Just try this. You have this talent. Have you tried that? You have people that are so talented that just sit and are afraid. They need someone to believe in them, to do something. To encourage them. Maybe you can sing here. You can help Melvin play some guitar. Who knows? I mean, there are so many things that we can do. We hear about the Kids Kingdom teachers. Maybe you have a skill to that direction. We need to encourage people to use that skill to do things in God's kingdom. Does that make sense? So use your skill. Don't sit and say, there's nothing I can do. There's a lot you can do. You can encourage. There's many ministries, auxiliary ministries we can build as you exist. Reaching out to the poor, just different things we can do. Does that make sense? So there's a lot we can do if we use this. So encourage people to grow. Let the family group know if you are not coming. I already talked about that. So that just, these are some small things that can make relationships go well or go south. All right? There's a video I'd like us to watch, and then we can discuss that, and I'll be all for today. Okay? I think we'll need to get the lights. Let's see.
Thank you. And we're praying for every day.
I'm okay.
So, I think we should go ahead and check in with the rest of us. Is that okay with you?
Oh, yes, of course.
Okay, great. Well, sorry, can I bring something up there? Your situation?
Yeah, it's okay with me if it is with you.
Sure, that's fine.
Okay, well, I don't want this to come out the wrong way, but how is this going to work? How's what going to us through?
Not following Julie, my mom's friend went through this, and she told me that it was like carrying a grand piano by hand a long, long way. And it can be done, but not without the right, I don't know, a team.
Yeah, no, it's a great part of the team,
yes.
Guys. I don't think we're going to be enough.
But we're not by ourselves.
We're talking about other resources, aren't you?
Yes.
You know we love you, right? And that we're in this with you for as long as it takes because we're family, right?
Then why do I feel bad all of a sudden, like my family thinks I'm
That is not what this is about.
There's a teacher I work with. She was asking about us. She predicted in 3 months that I wouldn't even be in the group anymore. That it couldn't happen.
This is about us taking the best care we know how of God's most precious gifts. That being,
that's right. So, what are you saying?
We're saying that we're going to be here giving you everything a family should be giving you. Our presence, our love, our feelings, our prayers, what guidance we can. We're going to do this, okay? Absolutely. And we're going to connect you with these other groups.
Cancer, information networks, cancer support groups.
I know you know this, but those groups can help you a lot better than we can.
Yeah, more expertise, more experience.
I think groups I can tell you about. We can talk about it later.
And you see, Julie, when you let us help like that, we're going to help us as well. Well, you see this once a week, maybe twice.
And
we
talk on the phone.
But that piano, that's how you get everything. And if we're your only emotional resource, then what you need to come here is to work for weeks worth of pain. And that's what you need. And we've been doing it for the past 4 weeks.
I can get the lights back. Quick discussion. We need to go. Just quickly, what was done right and what was done wrong in that group? We did the five things, right? Care, help, safety, authenticity, and growth. So what was done right in that discussion and what was done wrong? Yes. Okay. Did you hear that? They made her feel like she needed an outside. She was a burden, so they need to get outside sourcing to so they can get back to their lives. I think what they were trying to do is to get her connected, but that's what she got from that. Yeah.
Maybe they could have done it better.
Yeah.
How they presented that. But the idea was, we're not equipped to help you with that, but let's help us find somebody.
Or maybe pull down the side.
Right.
Where they, right there. Yes.
When she tried to talk, they didn't just let her express herself. They pushed her back.
They pushed very hard back when she tried to talk, right? Okay. Yes. Yeah, instead of all of it, one or two should have approached her. Okay. Yes, Ron.
One of the ladies tried to analyze what she was feeling by projecting somebody else's experience like her, and that she was an expert.
Okay. Went a bit the other side. Yes, Tommy. Yeah. So it was not very safe. They were trying hard. Okay, Zach, and then we go over there.
One thing I did see is a lot of care and authenticity.
Okay. It's the same group, but gotten better. The dynamics are better here now. Okay. He says there are much, much more care coming out. Yes. Okay. Anybody else? Yes, Bill.
Well, I just want to say that they facilitated a much better job. Well, you know, hearing everybody out, letting everybody express themselves, but really trying to keep them focused. You know, the last video, they were just all over the place, but you did a better job of facilitating the conversation and trying to protect her.
Yeah, they have moved on and become better. Yes. Yes.
They've grown, but they still, it's fake. Often, like, it's fake care.
Her perspective is fake care, all right.
They understand that they need to care.
Yeah.
They didn't care enough to really just be like, okay, like, just listen to her and just let her get it out. Like, let her just vent. And, like, the last video we saw when they said the woman she was talking and they tried to give her a whole bunch of advice and she clammed up. Like, this is the same thing that happened to her. She just closed up. And they're like, are you sure? But I don't know, they should be more fair and follow the Holy Spirit. Like, follow the Holy Spirit in every situation.
So that's why we're playing the video, so that you don't go do the same thing.
I think as I'm looking at that and that dynamic, that's a challenge I'm familiar with, is that there's a difference between a group meeting together and family. And I think they want to be a group that meets together and want to talk over things. But then family, as you were talking about the way that you want to be there for, what about time? What about taking care of our family? What about helping our situations? I know there's a certain part that a family goes through, whereas you're just my brother and sister, you're just my brother and sister, but if you're my family, there's ways that I will go in and I will dive in. Even when it inconveniences me, I will dive in because you're family. And I think that's the thing that was missing.
Fantastic. Yes, Barry. Yeah.
So the way that I saw it was you had some imperfect people trying to care, and they were trying to dive in. And what was happening was there's a new commitment on the table.
Okay.
Right? Everybody has been coming in for a long time. There's been one level of commitment where there hasn't been that much need from everybody. And now there's a huge need on the table. So what I saw was people trying to deal with commitment and the family kind of talking about the commitment and saying, we are open to commit. We want you to let us, we don't want you to feel like we aren't going to be afraid. We're going to be afraid of that commitment. And so I felt like the conversation was about commitment going to another level. And that's not always going to be an easy conversation.
Yeah. Here's the deal. Do you see how we are varied and how we say it differently? That is the work we have ahead of us, to sit and figure this thing out. And that is why I wanted you to watch that and see how it can get very varied. Don't pull away because it's varied. Figure it out together. Figure it out together. Don't run away. Figure this thing out. You need God. You cannot do it in a human effort. You need God, you need prayers, you need to be walking together and have a good time. God bless you.